Well, I'm so excited that you're here to join me for Voice of Breakthrough, this podcast. So we are going to hit some powerful topics. Every single week, we will be having a new podcast with a new topic. So get ready. I'm telling you, this is great to exercise to. This is powerful to listen to when you're cleaning your house or cooking that dinner or cutting the grass, but you can turn up loud on your little iPhone or whatever you have there. Anyway, you're going to love this powerful, life-changing, every single week podcast of Voice of Breakthrough. Anyway, when we were worshiping, the Lord put on my heart to go look at Peter when he was a fisher of men. So let's see if we can find the scripture on that. Let's try Matthew 4:19, then we'll go to John 21. Let's go up to Matthew 4:17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of God has drawn near." And walking beside the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon being called Peter and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." Leaving the nets, they immediately followed him. And then go to the one that we said before. What was it, John 21? After these things, John 21, 1. Now, after those things, he said, "Repent, the kingdom's drawing near." And he called Peter to put away your nets, come follow me. After these things, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples at the sea, and revealed himself this way. Simon Peter and Thomas, being called the twin, and Nathanael from Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were all together. Now this is after he had rose from the dead, Jesus had. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going out to fish." That Peter, he was going to go right back to fishing, wasn't he? It's something he did. He loved to get away from thinking about things. He did it for a living, but he also did it because he really enjoyed it. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going out to fish." They said to him, "Well, we're going to come with you," because Simon Peter was a leader. Simon Peter was always a leader. He had a gift of people following him, people doing what he did, people being interested in what he was interested in, people wanting to hang out with him. And if everyone really realizes now, here's Peter, and Jesus has risen from the dead. Here's Peter who denied him. Here's Peter who Jesus is restoring. Simon Peter and Thomas being okay. So Simon says, "I'm going out to fish." They all said, "We're going to come with you." They went and entered into the boat at once. And in that night, they caught nothing. Or this had happened before to Peter. And now, becoming early morning, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, do you not have anything to eat?" It's like, "Hey, y'all didn't catch anything, did you?" And they said, "No." And then he said to them, "Cast the net into the right side of the boat, and you're going to find fish." Now remember, or if you don't know this, he had done this before when he showed Peter his power. When he called Peter while Peter was doing what he loved to do, while he called Peter while Peter was doing what he did for a living, while he called Peter to let Peter know, "I'm completely changing your mind." Now, Peter had failed. He denied Christ. Peter, who was so strong in his own strength, so strong that he actually, you know, chopped the ear off of the soldier. He thought he was willing to die for Christ. And yet he denied him three times, because none of us in the flesh can do what we have to do to glorify God. In the flesh, you cannot glorify God. Peter had to see, it's not in your own strength you're going to glorify me. It's not in your own strength that you could do this better than anyone else. And so when he completely failed and denied Christ three times, while Christ was going through his worst human experience, And Peter felt like such a failure. And then Peter did by this point know that Christ had rose from the dead. He at this point had seen him. But God, don't you love God? Don't you love Jesus? Don't you love that he knew that Peter wasn't yet completely healed from what he had done? He hadn't completely forgiven himself for denying Christ. He was extremely humbled, amen? How many have gone through something where God's given you a promise and then it didn't come to pass? And it should completely humble you. It's going to do one of two things. It's going to make you bitter, That's what the devil wants. And then you think, well, God didn't really mean that. God didn't really call me. That's not really God's power. God's not really a healer. God, you know, blah, blah, blah. That's bitterness. Buying the lies of the enemy because you missed it. Let's say that again. Buying the lies of the enemy because you missed it is bitterness. And then there's humility that says, God, why did I miss it? God, how could I deny you? God, please help me. God, please forgive me. And we all know, because Peter still was there, right, that he chose not to become bitter. He didn't blame God that he missed it. He knew he missed it. He knew that he wasn't who he thought he was. He knew that this was much deeper than he ever thought this walk with Jesus was going to be. And that was after hanging out with him for all that time. All of a sudden, he just wanted Jesus. And so here he is. Here's Jesus. Our Jesus is this personal. Our Jesus is this personal, and how he wants to talk to us, how he wants to reveal himself to us, how he'll use the very things that he knows we love, the very things he's given us a heart for, the very things he's given us a calling for, how he'll use those things when he reveals something to us. Isn't he amazing? How he'll use that gift of building, that heart to build. My goodness, what would somebody who loves building and has a heart to build, what could God do with that gifting? Prophetically become a builder of the people of God, the living stone, somebody who pours into people's lives. What could God do with someone who loves to fish? What's going to be the next catch? I'll go anywhere to get that catch. He'll give them a heart to go after souls and love going after souls the way they love to go after fish. God is giving us a wake-up call this morning. God is calling us to our first love, which is him. It should be him. And from that place of first love, there's going to come an empowerment by the Holy Spirit to do the very thing you were created to do for God's glory. See, we were created to find Jesus Christ. See, that's the beginning. The beginning is, are you going to find Christ and have eternal salvation? That's the beginning. That's step one. But then there should come a maturing, there should come a hunger, there should come a wanting more than just living like everybody else. And then there should come into that revelation that I want to glorify God, that I want to glorify God. I was hanging out with God this morning for an hour and a half, which is why I think we went right into the holy thing, because I left my house leaving holy, and I didn't want to come here and start with praise. I wanted to come here and go right back into holy. Amen. Oh, and in that holy place, my heart would only cry out to God and say, I just want your will. We live in a culture that really is about what we want. We are probably the most selfish culture there is. We're a culture that actually has made up something called retirement that's not in the word at all. Therefore, it's a Babylon spirit. I wasn't going to preach this. God's giving me this as I'm preaching, just so you know. And that's the spirit of the world to lure you away from ending this race well. And the enemy's only going to use things that you love to try to get you to walk away from what you're called to. Can I hear an amen? It's so easy. It would be so easy for me to just want to enjoy all the blessing God's given me. He's given me so much blessing. It keeps my beach house booked solid. I hardly get to go. Can block it. I know, but it's like, I just know, okay, I'm not going to do it. I'll do it some, Lord. I'll do it for vacation time. I'll do it for family time. I'll do it for retreats. But I'm not going to be pulled in by my very blessing to get away from what you've called me to. I'm so thankful. This is crazy. I am so thankful they illegally closed those houses to us late winter spring. I couldn't even get mad, even though it was totally illegal that they wouldn't let me go to my own beach house. But I knew in my heart I needed to be here praying. I knew we needed to intercede. We are watching everything we've interceded for and prayed for. Before anyone knew there was any kind of issues going on, God knew it. Amen? And so we were praying and believing. And I have to be honest with you, the temptation to have just left here, especially since my husband was working from home at that point, and you have to be really quiet when he's having all these meetings with NASA. I'm a noisy person. Like, I'm just a noisy person. Like, when I went to the beach house for a few days this week, I was mainly cleaning. The TV was on. I had people over. I was ministering to some people to 4 in the morning. It was powerful. Not 4 in the morning, 12:30 in the morning. But for 4 hours, it was powerful what God did, a healing, a deliverance. It was just powerful. I never felt God's presence so strong in that beach house till I did the other night. And I was just like, God, you're so good. See, I would rather be doing that in the beach house than enjoying myself in the world's ways. But I still enjoy myself. Amen? I still do what God wants me to do, when he wants me to do it, and how he wants me to do it. And I'm not saying this pretending to know what anybody's called to do, so don't let the devil lie to you. I'm only doing this because God made it clear that I was to talk about Peter. And he was stirring us because many of us are in that age of change in direction. Many of us are in the age of saying, well, what are we going to do in our future? And some of you young people are in the age, what am I going to do with my future? And God is calling us he's calling us to run the race and end well. Amen. Good and faithful servant. So when I was worshiping the Lord this morning and talking to the Lord this morning and encountering the Lord this morning in such a wonderful, awesome, glorious, he's so good way, all I could cry to him is, Lord, I want to do your will. I'm reading that book, The Agenda of Angels. And he was talking about some of that. So I read the book some, and he had some scriptures. So I went and looked at those scriptures. It was like at 4 in the morning. And then I just began to pray into those scriptures and hang out with God, talking about those scriptures, and got into God's presence with no music in the background at all. And he just was so good. And all I could cry out to him as I encounter his love and his how real he is I want to do the Father's will. I said, Father, actually when we were up here in that last song, and I kind of, in the spirit, transitioned from hanging with, being in Christ, whoa, and then Christ taking me to the Father, I said to the Father, I just want to do your will. That's all I want to live for. I want to live to do your will. I just want to live to do your will. That really is my heart's desire. Whatever that looks like, wherever that takes me. But God, that is my heart's desire. How many know if that's really your heart's desire, you will fulfill that? Whoa. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. He keeps blessing me so much. Somebody just sent me $300 to me as a gift. I don't even need $300. Don't raise your hands if you do. But I just, he can't, you, he doesn't care. You need this. I wasn't praying for money. It's like, here, I want to give this to you. Here, can I give this to you? Let me give this to you. What can I give you? I'm like, just you. You've given me everything else. I know there's people who really need him to give you some money, and you need him to give you a car, and you need him to give you a good job. Praise God. Ask with the right motive, and he'll do what he promises. Amen. Be obedient in tithing. Be obedient in giving. Be obedient with your finances. And go listen to the teaching if you don't get that, because it's real. But then he's so good. And here he is revealing himself to Peter in a personal way. See, God can give you the very things you've been wanting and asking for. And when you get them, you hopefully, like me, then I don't need them. Like, I would lay them down. I definitely wouldn't hold on to them and lose him. Satan's going to try to distract us. He's going to try to, even in, Satan knows, okay, they passed the test of tragedy. They passed the test when things are stolen from them. They're still in love with God. They haven't changed his word. They think he's wonderful. They've gone deeper in him. They love him more than ever. That didn't work. Let's try getting them focused on the blessings that God gives them. And let's get them focused on, let's even add some to that. Let's do things in their life to make Jesus like, thank you for these promises you gave me. But no greater depth. Do you understand what I'm saying? Satan has two ways to get you. He can try to get you through sickness, through tragedy, to thinking God's not faithful, to thinking God hasn't blessed you, to make you bitter and whiny. For some of those commercials, there's one commercial about the pain this lady has, and her whining just makes me think, man, she's whiny. Don't be whiny. Amen? Just don't be whiny. Get free. Then there's the other way, though. The way where God blesses you and gives you and takes care of you and gives you the things you think you want, or Satan might even open some of those doors. And then, are you still completely wanting God more than anything else? Some people, oh God, just give me babies. Oh God, just give me children. Oh God, just give me a husband. And then they're not near as hungry and after God as they were before. It's time to everybody to wake up and say, what am I after? Am I after the promises of God, or am I after God? How many in this room could honestly say, God has given you, answered your prayers and given you promises of things you've asked him for? Even to the place of the supernatural. Well, those things are awesome and wonderful and a blessing, but it's also a way for God to see, what are you really after? What are you really after? And let me just say this. It's hard to be after God in a deep way until you taste and see how good he is. But many of you have tasted, you've felt the anointing, you felt his presence, you've had encounters. Do you know how many people in the church can't say that? Do you know how many people sitting around right now in churches all over our nation have never even felt his presence hardly? Like maybe a little woo every now and then. And yet God has called us into this place of living in his presence, all the time being with him. So he goes on here and he's so nice to Peter. He says to them, cast the net into the right side of the boat and you will find. You'll find what you're looking for. Today, this morning, as we minister to one another, how the Lord leads that, I want us to get the revelation that Jesus wasn't against Peter out there hanging out and fishing. Amen? He let him not catch a thing all night. He let it become a little frustrating. Something to wear him out a little bit. But then there was Jesus on the scene, on the shore. And they didn't recognize him, probably in his glorified body, whatever he came looking like. But Jesus was, listen to what God was doing. Peter didn't know where to go now. What do we do if Jesus isn't leading us? What do we do if Jesus isn't in charge of this? You know, I don't know what to do. And here's Jesus showing them, even when I'm not always here, I'm here. And just get, I just love this. Just get the relationship and kind of what Jesus is doing. I want y'all guys to see this, because I want you to quit seeing Jesus as this boring, let me read the Bible, let me do my hour of quiet time. The word quiet time is not even a scripture. If yours is too quiet, maybe you're not having much fun in your quiet time. Can I get an amen? Here's Jesus. Think of it. He's coming to win Peter's heart back to his calling. And he does it by shouting out to Peter. Now, God had this whole thing planned, right? Even Peter going on that boat that night, I believe, he got the idea from God, right? Because God made sure he didn't catch a fish. He made sure he was worn out. He made sure he saw how it wouldn't be that much fun in and of itself. And then he comes back to shore and Jesus yells out. I love how he says too. Look in John 2:21-5. Children, do you not have anything to eat? They answered him, no. They weren't offended that he called them children. Now, they didn't know it's Jesus yet. These are grown men, people. These are grown men. And they're okay with some guy on the beach yelling, hey, you got something to eat? Did you catch anything? And they respected this person. They said, no. But Jesus knew, they are my children. They're the Father's children. They cast out. So he says to them, cast the net into the right side of the boat, you will find. Then they cast. They no longer had the strength to draw from the multitude of the fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved, which is, that's how John refers to himself, said to Peter, it is the Lord. Then hearing that it is the Lord, Simon Peter girded on his coat, for he was naked. We don't fish naked in Virginia. And threw himself into the sea. I want you to see something that I'm seeing now. Peter didn't recognize what Jesus was doing because he didn't look like Jesus. Because Peter was still down on himself. It took John the beloved, John the one that Jesus loved, the one who stayed close and connected to Jesus no matter what, he recognized that it was the Lord. But when Peter heard someone who recognized that it was the Lord, someone who still had that connection in a big way, Peter right away came into agreement that that's Jesus. And all of a sudden he gets this revelation of what's really going on, right? Then hearing that it's the Lord, Simon Peter put something around himself and jumped into the water. The other disciples came into the little boat, for they were not far from the land, only about 200 cubits, dragging the net of fish. Then when they went up on the land, they saw a coal fire lying and a fish lying on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring from the little fish which you've caught now. Look at him being funny. He's like, okay, you have so much fish you can't even get them all in. Hey, bring some of that little bit that you just caught. Don't you love him? Now, he doesn't even look like Jesus in his glorified body or however he revealed himself. Isn't that amazing? And yet, now all of that relationship understanding was being rekindled. Amen? All of a sudden, and I want you always when you read scripture, when you read the gospel especially, see the personality of Jesus, amen? Because when you see someone's personality, you can start relating to them more for who they really are. If you see Jesus as stern and mean and mad at Peter, then you're gonna think that's how he is about you when you miss it. You're gonna think, but see, when you really look at this, Peter really missed it. Amen. He was warned, he didn't believe the Lord. He missed it in his pride, didn't he? Really missed it, denied Christ three times. Amen. And yet, when Jesus comes to give him back his calling, to re-stern him a fire for his calling. I just love him. Don't y'all know God has an entire world to run? Plus, who knows what else? We know heaven, right? And he takes the time and all of that to individualize his walk with you. He takes the time and all of that to individualize how he talks with you, how he relates to you. He is so full of love. He is so about relationships. Amen? If we could all make our lives more about relationships and really try to understand people the way Jesus understood Peter, amen? The way he knew how to get through to Peter, we need to begin to get off of our self-righteousness and the way we think we should do things. And we need to ask God for the heart that he has for the people we're ministering to. What is the heart he has for your spouse? What is the heart he has for your children? What is the heart he has for your coworkers? What is the heart he has? How do I get your heart, God? You get it by asking and seeking and realize and seeing his heart. He goes out of his way to talk to Peter. He goes out of his way to break through Peter's own self-disappointment. So Simon goes up and drags the net onto the land full of big fish. 153. They counted them. And though being so many, this time the net wasn't torn. Oh. Now the first time they did this, the net was torn, right? What is he prophetically saying? Now you're ready. Now you're ready, Peter. Now when you go and you cast the net where I tell you to, it's going to do what I've called it to do. Woo! Now, when he tells you to go, and evangelize. He's going, once you get to that place of brokenness, once you get to that place where it's not about you, but it's about him, once you get to that place to recognize how wonderful he is and the relationship he has, now those very same things that seem to have failed before when you tried them, now they're going to be successful. This is after spending all that time with Jesus. This is after failing and being humbled. This is after watching all these things you didn't understand and walk through all these things you didn't know. And then in that place of being called by God, in that place of being humbled by God. Amen? Now, when he tells you what to do, you can handle it. Now when he tells you where to go, you'll see signs and wonders and miracles. You'll see people saved. Our whole church needs to hear this, amen? Because we have been a church with miracles, signs, and wonders and locked up in a little tiny building and on the mission field in a small percentage of what we do for a very long time. And so when the Lord was telling me it's time to transition into what we have now, into what we're going to have, into what we're doing, and he said to talk about Peter, I didn't really get what he was going to be telling me. Amen? And now I see what he's telling me. All the things you've done when I first called you, when I first revealed myself to you, things that didn't seem to work right, now when you hear me, now when you obey me, you're going to be able to handle all that I'm going to do. All that I'm going to bring into this place, all that I'm going to do on the mission field, all that I'm going to do in everybody's personal lives. Amen? Ooh. So I'm reading this as you are. I didn't know we were going to do this. And though being so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, now come and break fast. And no one of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? For now they all knew that it was the Lord. Wow. God wants to reveal himself to where every person knows that's Jesus. What happened at church today, that was Jesus. What happened when I had that encounter, that was Jesus. How many are ready to start encountering Jesus? How many are ready to have real experiences with Jesus? How many are ready for God to bring into your lives visions, dreams, and real encounters? Amen. I never will forget when I saw him at a big church in Hampton, and he was dressed like a very, very poor person. He's really tall, by the way. Jesus is pretty tall. He's not real short. And I didn't know it was him, but the temptation was, do you want this pastor and this big group of people to see how hungry you are and that you want to be prophesied over and you want to be called? Or do you want to be led by the Holy Spirit and go minister to that homeless man who's walking out the door and nobody's noticing him? And the truth is, and this is where we need to get in our lives, we need to recognize all the tests we're going through. Can I get an amen? If you don't even know you're taking a test, you probably failed it. Or aced it. Amen. But if you're in between the B, C, and D mark, that's when you think twice about it. Amen. Like, so I could have maybe aced it and didn't know it was ever a test. But I remember standing there near the very front. It was a much bigger church, but I'd be in a seat about this close to the altar. I mean, I was right up front. Maybe a couple seats back, because I remember seeing the person up here. But I almost missed it. I would say I got a C minus because I didn't miss it. But I certainly didn't get an A. I was as close to missing it, and I would have never known. But I would have missed him. Because when I ran back, and that's a big church, all the way to the back as he was getting ready to leave the sanctuary area. And I tapped this person on the shoulder. And I said, wait a minute, Jesus loves you. And when he turned around, it was the Lord. Woo! And when I saw his eyes, I fell out. I was like on the floor, out for who knows how long, just weeping and crying. Back then, every time I cried, everybody thought it was because Lauren died. But I was so experiencing God. It's like, God, I want those experiences. Amen. I want the supernatural back, completely back, 100% back, not only in my life, but in the lives of the people who come into this church that you call here. We don't want fake. We don't want counterfeit, but we only want the Holy Spirit. But it is, you're going to reveal yourself. Everything we've been through was a preview of up and coming events. He's about to reveal himself in a really big way. He wants people whose hearts are right. How many know we have gone through a lot of sanctification to have hearts to be able to see what he wants? We don't want to have an encounter so we can write a book and try to get our names out there. Can I get an amen? We just want Jesus. We just want Jesus. We want everything he wants to give us. We want to encounter everything that's in his word. If it's in his word, I want to walk in it. Amen? If it's in his word, I want to participate in a big way with all that he is. Amen? I want everything out of the way that tries to stop me from entering into all that he has. And the main thing in the way is me. The main thing is the way is me and the flesh. I don't want to be a weird zombie, okay? That's not God. I want to be a person who loves my life. If I look at the life of Jesus, he enjoyed his life. He was at weddings. He was, you know, fishing on the beach with these guys. He was having fellowship. Amen? Amen? Does everybody get this? The real Jesus had a great life on the earth, even though he did the Father's will. Amen? Even though he did the Father's will. Even though he was extremely supernatural and extremely spiritual, he enjoyed his human life. Amen? And so he's not looking for that counterfeit false spirituality, but he is looking for people not to get confused about the seasons and the times, and that we are heading into the greatest move of God on the planet, and Satan's going to do everything now to make you miss it. There are people who should be in this church. Some of them are watching, some of them aren't. All of you who don't go to church, I'll let you know this. You are missing it. You are outside of God's will. I don't care what your excuse is. You get over yourself, and if somebody's hurt you, get healed and look at your own heart, but find a church that Holy Spirit is taking you to and become actively involved with his body and let God change you in the midst of relationships that might seem painful at times, but he wants you to deal with you. Can I get an amen? He says, in the last days, many will forsake the fellowshipping together. Don't let that happen. Well, they didn't know about televisions and computers and internet church, and they definitely didn't know about the chaos of 2020. Amen? But he did. So I'm just saying that. Quit going from place to place and jumping around unless God's moving you intentionally, because you keep changing. Just stay till you get kicked out. Then you won't have to say it was your fault. That's what I did. Got kicked out some, but hey, I grew deeper in God, closer in God. I made a decision. I was going to walk it out. I was not going to leave till God really had me leave, and no person could offend me enough. Amen? I became unoffendable. In the sense of ordering my steps. Offense does not order my steps. God orders my steps. And people are like, well, God told me to leave a church. Then where did he take you? Because he'll take you somewhere else. Oh, I just made them mad. Now they're not even here. They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus came and took the bread. And he gave to them. Wouldn't that be strange that they knew him, you know, for quite, at least 3.5 years, right? And they saw his face and his mannerisms. And then he comes back in this different form, this different body. And they're sitting there fellowshipping with him and having to recognize. Yeah, that'd be, John just shaved off his beard for the wedding, I guess. I didn't even notice it. It was so funny because he's had that beard, you know, for the chaos 2020 beard. The official Chaos 2020 beard that many men had who never had beards before. So I remember we were all getting ready to go to Heather's wedding. I just thought, boy, John looks handsome today. I didn't say anything to him because he's like, he gets all like, I think, oh, he just looks so handsome today. And so we're all sitting around the table, and somebody else from the church was there. I won't say who. And the person they were with had also shaved off their 2020 chaos beard. And so this person said, John, did you shaved off your beard? And I'm like, that's what's different about him. And I thought, I just knew you looked younger, but I think it was 40 years married and never seen a beard. That 7 month thing, when it was gone, it just didn't faze me. To me, he still looked the same, though he never looked the same with the beard. Anyhow, but it was strange relating to him with the beard. He just looked so different. It's like here they were relating to Jesus, but once they got past that, they didn't even think about it. And this is, I didn't even think about it once John and I started talking. Once we were driving to the wedding, I didn't think about, oh, he doesn't look like he looked yesterday. Amen? Because we're more than what we look like, people. We're so much more than what we look like. Then Jesus came and took the bread and gave to them. And the same way the little fish. This now is 3 times that Jesus was revealed to his disciples, he being raised from the dead. Then when they broke the fast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? I actually think the Lord's not asking us to compete in who loves Jesus the most. I think he's going after the heart in Peter of pride that caused the fall. Peter, you thought you wouldn't deny me no matter what. You thought no matter what happened to you, you wouldn't be weak. You thought you were better than everybody else. And I think he's kind of, maybe, possibly, I can't prove this, bringing up that competitive thinking that was in Peter. Do you really love me more than these? But I love this response of Peter, because he's no longer, now that he's really connected again with Jesus Christ, he's no longer living in that failure. Amen? He's not living. Some of you would be like, I guess not, Lord. I failed you so bad. I guess not. Peter had received that forgiveness. Amen? And Peter had forgiven himself, or he couldn't have answered this. He couldn't have said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. So Peter is breaking through all the torment of the enemy. He's breaking through that feeling of failure. He's recognizing, because he doesn't say, yes, I love you more than these, right? He recognizes, I don't love him more. I'm not called to love him more than others. I'm just called to love him. And I want that to get out to everybody, because this isn't a competition. This isn't a competition. This is about relationships. You are to have different relationships with different people. But they should all be sincere. They should all be real. Like, I have a different, I don't treat both of my sons as if they were the same person. I learn who they are. I get to know them, as Jesus says, you never knew me. I get to know them, and because my heart is to treat them fairly, and because my heart doesn't have a favorite, because my heart has been healed by God in many ways, amen, I can have a real relationship with them. I can have a real relationship with my husband, recognizing who he is, recognizing the things about him that other people might judge my relationship. See, it's not about that. It's about, what is my relationship with people? It's amazing if you read the scriptures, especially all of it, but when you look at Jesus, how sincerely he had real relationships with individuals. Amen. How amazingly he saw and spoke to Jesus at the same time that John is like, but I'm the one, you know, I don't have to boast about it like Peter, just I'm the one he loves, you know. And you see these different relationships that God has with these. And I want you to realize, God already has, if you're born again, he has a relationship with you. But how much are you giving him a real relationship back? Not just head knowledge, but a relationship. How much time do you spend getting to know him? And don't compare yourself to one another, because then you say, well, that's just because she's in ministry. Well, that's just because they're more sensitive. That's just because. Quit the just because stuff. Stop everything else and look at the relationship you have with God, that you have with Jesus Christ, the Father and the Holy Spirit. What is your relationship with God? It's not about what anybody else's relationship is. Amen? Amen? And is it as close as you want it to be? Do you know him? And do you let him know you? Do you actually take time to have a relationship with God, not just prayer requests? So he says, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. What is Jesus saying to him? If you love me, it looks like something. And because of the calling on your life, if you really love me, you're going to teach my word even to the lambs, even to the babies. You're going to have a heart to minister and teach even to the babies in the body of Christ. If you love me, then you will obey me. If you love me, it's going to look like something. I want you to take a little bit of time and say, I say I love him, what does it look like? And to know what it's supposed to look like, you need to start to find out, what is my calling? Amen? For Peter, his calling was to preach the word and teach the word and to give the word of God to, and he says, the lambs. He says it to him secondly, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he says to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Then he says to him, shepherd my sheep. Now he's going beyond just feed my lambs. That's a pastor anointing. That's like take care of the little ones, train them up. But shepherd my sheep is I want you to oversee the body of Christ. I want you to oversee my church. I want you to move into this place to literally shepherd, take care of, lead, guide my sheep. Thirdly, he said to him, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Now, Peter was grieved that he said this to him a third time. And Peter's like going through this. Doesn't he hear me? Does he not believe me? Is something wrong in my heart? Do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you perceive all things. Now, what did we just see about Peter here that we didn't see in Peter when Jesus said you were going to deny me three times? When he was told he was going to deny, Peter thought he knew more than Jesus. Peter thought, you're wrong. You got this wrong. You're seeing my heart wrong. So you can see here where Peter's really changed, hasn't he? By the third time, he's like, so I'm missing something. And God's right and I'm wrong. God sees things correctly. I don't always see correctly. Does everybody see how what Peter went through changed him? See, what you go through should change you. It should bring a humility. It should bring a dependence upon Christ. And if you don't let bitterness in, that's what happens. But if you let bitterness get in, the opposite happens. Amen? So he says to him, you perceive all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, then feed my sheep. So he gave him three things to do. Feed the lambs, take care of even the babies, shepherd the sheep, really, really get in there and lead and guide and take care of and protect. And then he says, now feed the sheep. In other words, give real food to the more mature believers. And he's telling Peter his calling. And he's connecting it with love, showing that you love Jesus. It's not, I'm going to prove this to you, God. It's a result of real love. Do you know the difference? A work of trying to make God say, see, look at me, God, I love you. See, look at me, I love you. Your heart's wrong. What he's saying, if you love me, this is going to be the outcome of your life. I want you to get this. Some of you say you love him, But is the outcome of your life going to be what he's called you to? That doesn't have to be full-time ministry, just so everybody knows that. But it needs to be a place. I want to do your will. I want to do the Father's will. I want to reveal what God said. My love will be revealed. Your love for me will be revealed if you glorify the Father. How do you glorify the Father? The same way Jesus did, by doing the works that the Father had for him to do. His work was all the way to the cross in hell, people. That's why he says, hey, it's light. What am I asking you to do? It's going to be easy. But we are actually here not to work it out in our heads and in our souls how this works out, but to really get a heart. I am going to, everybody thinks he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. He's not going to say that to everybody. To some, he says, away from me, you work of iniquity. I don't know you. That's horrible. He's going to be wiping away tears. And it's not in your brain what you do. It's in your heart. Do you love him? Because if you love him, you will do the things he's called you to. You will minister to the people he wants you to minister to. You, whether it's your grandchildren, your family, but you will recognize that his blessings. You will recognize that even the things you like in the natural have some kind of prophetic truth about what he's called you to do in his kingdom. Amen? How many know I didn't just start talking when I got saved? And talking and talking and talking. Amen. I mean, I was called blabbermouth and motor mouth and everything else. And I used to not talk about that good of, I never talked about anything horrible, thank God. But thank God when I talk now, he talks through me and I help people. I can talk 4 hours to somebody and get them from a place of death into life. Amen. And the devil's done everything he can to try to make me shut up. And he's failed. He can make some people not listen, but he can't make me shut up by God's grace. Amen. What is it God's called you to? And what is the enemy doing to steal that calling? And you can't just get offended and then, or to get busy or whatever. You have to really stop and say, what I reveal, let me say this, my works reveal my faith. This is what the Bible says. What God has me doing and empowers me to do and gives me what I need to do it reveals my real faith walk with him. Amen? But what he calls me to, like he's calling Peter here, if I really love him and it's not more words or imaginations in my head, it's going to produce the will of the Father on this earth. And quit limiting yourself. I'm telling you that Kevin Zadai, his books are really good to get you to quit blaming money, quit blaming time, quit blaming this, quit blaming that. If God wants you to do something for the Father, if the Father wants you to do something for his glory, he already has the money, he already has made the way. But it takes faith of leaving what you know and walking into what he has. Amen? And you don't want that to be pretended, but you want to know as you seek him and fall in love with him too. You have to say yes. He says, now Jesus is telling him how fun this is going to be. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself. You walked where you desired. As you mature in the things of God and as he calls you, what maybe the world would call retirement almost, and you don't have to be that old to retire from the world. Amen. That wasn't allowed. Amen. Amen. But what he is saying here, you walked away. You were okay. You got yourself dressed. You went where you wanted to go. You did what you wanted to do. But when you grow old, now he's telling them, this is how it's going to end for you. When you grow old, you will stretch out your hands. Another will gird you and will carry where you do not desire. But he said this, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And having said this, he told him to follow me. Wow. What gospel do we hear preached in our nation? It's not the gospel a lot of times. Amen? Jesus is like, I'm going to put on your heart how you're going to die for me. But I'm asking you to follow me anyway. How many know, as we're entering into the last days, I think about most of the church is in agreement on that. And as we watch America going through these changes, and we don't know what's going to come of it, amen? It's not going to stay the same no matter what. There is going to be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. There is going to be an infilling of believers. But with that, we're going to have persecution from the world like we've never known before. If our nation truly yields the Holy Spirit and truly becomes a Christian nation again, if our nation truly wants to glorify God, we are going to be persecuted from inside and outside in a big way like we've never seen, all the way until we are out of here. Our children have to be prepared for that. Financially, things are going to happen to probably hurt this nation if we won't join globalism. Amen? We've got to begin to recognize that God is getting us ready. And because our lives are pretty nice, most of us, thank God, we're not waking up to see what is he preparing us for. And I just want you to see, he told Peter what he was called to. In America, we're so hilarious. We get a calling and everybody expects it to be like celebrity land. Because that's what we've watched in our nation for those who are in the limelight. They drive big cars. They live in fancy houses. They act like movie stars. I mean, we've even had a few of those visit and, oh my gosh, very interesting. God wants to get the love of money out of your heart. God wants to get the desire for power out of your heart. Amen. God just wants you to be about him. And in being about him, you'll love others. In being about him, you'll care about others. In being about him, you'll get a desire to do the Father's will because he loves people. He wants people saved. It won't just be your children getting saved or your spouse getting saved or your parents getting saved. It'll be about his children getting saved, amen? The people he died for getting free. But turning, Peter saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them. It's so funny because this is John who's writing this. The one, John, who also leaned on the Lord's breast at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one betraying you? Seeing him, Peter said to Jesus, Lord, and what of this one? So we can see Peter still has a way to go. Amen? Don't you love it? Don't you love how real the word is to reveal what's going on? Do you get how cool Jesus is? Do you get how real Jesus is? Do you get that Jesus is holy, completely powerfully holy, but he's not religious. He doesn't make other people feel uncomfortable around him. Being themselves. Now he will make sinners feel convicted, amen? And they'll either run to him to want to get free, or they'll run and hide in the dark. That's the two responses to a holy God. Help me, help me, help me. You know, help me, help me, help me. Just help me. Or, that's not real, who needs it? There's the two responses that the world's always going to have, amen? Not the in-between response of trying to have both. Either run to the light or get away from the light. Be hot or be cold. But he says, well, I just love Peter. So here's Peter enjoying that God's restoring him to his calling, rejoicing to hear his calling. And what does Peter say right away? What about him? And look how John reveals himself, the one that leaned on Jesus' breast at the supper. Not the one that was told he was going to deny Christ. But the one who was listening to his heartbeat, so in love with him, couldn't get close enough to him. It is true. John really had a deep love for Jesus. Amen? And Peter was a tough guy. Like, I don't want to put my head on some man's breast. Amen? But here you have these two. It's kind of cute, actually. Because John's the one writing this, revealing it from his perspective, so to speak. And here's Peter. What about him? What's he supposed to be doing? Jesus said to him, if I desire for him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. It says, therefore, the word went out to the brothers that the disciples would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he does not die. But if I desire him to remain until I come, what is that to you? It's really cool to see how they write these letters, right? Because he knows they're going to say, because Jesus said that we're not going to die before he returns. Therefore, when we die before he returns, they're going to say it was all false. So he clears it up. See, they even had fake news back in the day. Amen? That spirit, the spirit of the liar has always been around. But I just want us to see, God wants us. He just really put on my heart. He wants us to really be stirred to know what he's calling us to, not to miss it. And let me say this, it's not about works. It's about a love relationship with Jesus Christ. See, there's a lot of people who want to go into ministry because they don't want to work. Well, do we have news for them? Amen. There's a lot of people who say, that would just be fun. Well, if God's called you to it, then he'll give you grace for it and you'll love it. But if he hasn't called you to it, I promise you, you probably won't love it. Unless you're a man pleaser and everybody likes you, but you're not doing anything God wants you to do. So, who wants to have the whole church seek the Lord right now and see if God gives us words or scriptures or direction for them? Now, if you love this teaching, and you better say you love this teaching, then we want you to check out our web at beautyforashes.org. There is so much teaching there, and there's a resource library there. And also, check out my Facebook page at Cindy Foster Beauty for Ashes Ministry. We'd love you to partner with us and come along for the ride into the apostolic. God bless you.